Hello, this is Susan Smith Nash, and you're listening to some thoughts on e-learning. Today we're going to talk about lessons from the wild. Get ready for an even wilder future. WILD, which stands for Wireless Internet Learning Devices, have either been a spectacular success or a colossal failure. It just depends on who you ask and what approach they used. Some found it to be limiting or just too awkward to use. Others have found that they can incorporate smartphones, handheld computers, PDAs, and even untethered devices, MP3 players, video iPods. Other kinds of untethered devices, basically all of them are. So let's look at the successes. The most successful uses have involved utilizing the mobile devices that students already know and love. They did not rely exclusively on the mobile device to disseminate or receive course information, but instead took advantage of its features to create very exciting, dynamic learning environments where collecting and sharing information among the learners inspired true enthusiasm and emotional and intellectual engagement. Now let's look at the disappointments. Those who tried to develop customized devices that had a single application, usually a game, a simulation, or an interactive classroom clicker, were frustrated because the learner seemed to be less than interested. When the mobile device was pushed beyond its capabilities, people lost interest. So let's look at your wild future. If you're wondering what this means for you, the short answer is it's completely up to you. An increasing number of programs will offer opportunities to use wireless internet learning devices, to use your smartphone or PDA in conjunction with your class. What might that look like? Imagine you've signed up for Geology 115. Your instructor asks you to log in at least one field trip per week in which you must go out and find evidence of geological structures or certain types of rocks or minerals. You are required to take photographs of what you find, log the latitude and longitude from your GPS, and then post them for classmates to see. You're also required to post a voice message in the audio blog. You've just purchased a very nice smartphone, so you're able to do so. You also have GPS on your car, so that helps too if you're able to drive up to the outcrop. You take photos, text message your friends, find the GPS coordinates on your cell phone or on your car, and then post everything on a class blog. This is all done from your smartphone. Now let's take another case. It's a new semester, and you're taking an English class. You're asked to describe locations, and your classmates are supposed to compare your description with what they see, a photo. This is also done via your class MySpace site, rather than the clunky discussion board locked into the learning management system. Your instructor found it was a lot easier to post and share information via a weblog than through the learning management system. It's easy for everyone in the class to see the responses because they are part of the community. Last semester, your instructor used LiveJournal. It was equally painless to use. In the past, the use of WILDs in online learning was limited because of storage limitations. It was difficult to upload an audio file, much less a video. Now, however, smartphones, PDAs, other devices often have up to 100 gigabytes of space, and they can play and capture and store video as well as audio and texts. We can see that all the time. I mean, we have so many people who have become amateur VJs, video journalists, with their smartphones. Kind of amazing, isn't it? As a result, wilds are coming into their own, and as we consider the future, we can also try to keep from repeating some of the mistakes of the past. pushing technology to its limits and finding off-label applications for technology is exhilarating, but the reality is that it can be frustrating when it doesn't work as desired. Current best uses of mobile learning: exchanging student information by posting to a centrally viewable space, blog, or social network like MySpace or LiveJournal. Another current best use of mobile learning, or while learning, is accessing information. It's also in course materials. Also gathering and recording field data. Also collaborative problem solving, practice tests, and research articles can be housed centrally. So all those things are very good, and they're very, very day-to-day, very, very quotidian, very much in the normal process and space of doing things. Now, let's look at future best uses of mobile learning: testing and assessment, virtual proctoring, using video camera to monitor, record mini lectures and post, record video, social networking for research, smart sims, changing the rules of the games as well as the environments, virtual internships. So let's sum up the wild world. What is just around the corner has already been envisioned. That's the way technology has seemed to have progressed in the last 100 years. By the time the breakthrough occurs, we've already been seeing it play out in science fiction for at least a couple of decades. To envision how mobile learning and dedicated Wi-Fi learning devices will work, we should probably comb through sci-fi books, films, and graphic novels. The fact that sci-fi embraces a political vision and an ideological agenda is a further challenge. We need to examine how and where technology is taking us, and we need to understand how the use of technology mediates our notions of what it means to learn and how we think of the learning process. Hope you've enjoyed this. This is Susan Smith-Nash, and you've been thinking about things, yes, I hope. And this is me talking about a few things on the future of e-learning and mobile learning. Thanks for listening.